Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Wednesday, August 2nd, 2017. And with me today, I have John Martellaro. How are you, John?
I am very good.
Excellent. So glad you are here. And Kelly Gumont, how are you?
I'm doing well, Jeff. How are you?
I'm great. And hey,
good morning,
check it
Kelly.
Out. I just went from doing good well morning, to doing
John.
Great.
Hey, now it's a party.
And it's always just so nice to see how well you two get along. So yesterday was Apple's earnings report, third quarter earnings report.
Was it? I hadn't heard.
I'm surprised if you had heard, because it's like no one has been talking about this.
Yeah.
Okay. So, all right. So here's the quick overview. Apple reported $45.4 billion in revenue. They were better than the analyst consensus from Wall Street. And they were within their own guidance. They had $1.67 earning per share. And let's see, they sold 41 million iPhones during the quarter. And they sold 11.4 million iPads, which is a 15% year-over-year increase.
And now we pause for a moment and play the music from Peanuts while John does the Snoopy dance.
Oh, nice image.
Yeah, I thought so.
Too bad we didn't have music for that.
Oh, well, we do have the music for that. I just don't want to pay the royalties. Yeah, and for those of you playing at home, the song is Linus and Lucy. Originally performed by Vince Guaraldi for the Peanut shows.
The most awesome Christmas album ever.
Hands down.
It is a really, really good album. Yeah, but it's Vince Guaraldi, so there you go. And I think we might as well just like really key in on the thing that I'm sure has John all excited, and it's those iPad sales, 15% increase year over year.
Let's wait a moment while John repeats that, because John has been dying to say this out loud for months.
Well, I don't know what I've been dying to say, but before WWDC, I took a bar chart of Apple sales, and I didn't do any mathematical analysis, but I just kind of did a thumbnail, you know, line through the sales chart, and it went to zero in the year 2021. I thought, this has got to stop after 3 years of declining sales in general. The holiday quarter spikes up, but the holiday quarters have been lower each year too. So I was getting very worried, and I'm sure Tim Cook and everybody else was. And we kind of saw glimmerings of what Apple was thinking. You know, there was the resurgence of WWDC, the infusion of new technologies like ProMotion, finally getting the A10X into production. Nobody knows what the delay on that was. The 10.5-inch display with all the bells and whistles. And good speakers for a change. You can finally throw away your old iPad with the stupid old speakers that didn't work very well.
Don't hold back, John. How do you really feel?
The iPad 12-inch in November 15 was the first iPad that had decent speakers.
That's true.
You know, I reviewed a Kindle Fire HD back in 2013, and it had great speakers all around, and dinged Apple then. Took Apple long enough. And I think what was happening was that after the spike with the iPad Air, people figured out that, you know, the iPad Air just doesn't cut it anymore. It's too slow. It's not going to be great with iOS 11, and the speakers are not so great. I don't have the display features. It's time to upgrade after 3 or 4 years. I think Apple just timed it right, and the iOS 11 Spectre got people excited. And even though they didn't have a full quarter, that's kind of good in a way, because if they can sell 11.4 million in a partial quarter, I'm looking forward to Q4 also maintaining that momentum of the iPad sales.
I think it's premature to be excited about those numbers right now because, like you said, they didn't sell the new iPad, the new model iPad Pros for an entire quarter. They also didn't sell, didn't have iOS 11 and the Files app, for example, for the entire quarter for people to get a good look at and see what was really going on. So, these aren't the numbers I'm interested in.
Quarter four, which is, by the way, calendar quarter three, Apple's off by one for those who are keeping track.
So that's the number that's going to be really interesting to me when it comes to iPad sales. I know there was a nudge, but I'm even more curious how it's going to shake out in the subsequent quarters as we don't have, you know, supply constraints, because every time like something comes out from Apple, we get the first wave of like everybody wants one. And so they're hard to get hold of.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, we get the next wave of where things start to be a little bit more in balance. You can get stuff at an Apple store, but additionally, you can also get stuff at, say, a Best Buy or a Target. Like, it's much easier to walk in and get a really commonly available size in the next quarter. I'm trying to remember what the demand supply balance. I don't remember exactly how they phrase that, but it's basically you can walk in and buy one, but there aren't hundreds of them in the back room. There's maybe just the right amount. So, I know that's a metric Tim was always proud of as one of the supply chain people there at Apple all those years. So, I'm pleased to see these numbers because I'm tired of people talking about the iPad being doomed, but I'm even more interested in what this number's going to look like next quarter. Mm-hmm. Once we've had full months and we have more time with the public beta of iOS 11 as things settle in, as we get closer to the actual release date and people are able to actually put mileage, public beta users are finally able to put some mileage on some of these apps and see what they can really do. And the other thing that was interesting to me that I thought John would be amused by is that I think it took the slightly bigger but not laptop sized iPad to be the thing that nudged everybody. I feel like that was the magic. It wasn't, I have a laptop screen that just doesn't have a keyboard attached.
Yeah. It's been very interesting to see the reaction to the new iPads. And, I'm thinking that Apple has nailed it, at least for now, so that they can get this momentum going back towards good sales.
AppCamp certainly thinks so, because we tried a couple of iPads last year, and we tried the newest model iPad, the 10.5 inch this year. And we tried those at camp, and they're amazing and everybody loves them. And I sort of wanted one because I do have an iPad Air, and I'm only just starting to get to the point where I feel like it's creaking a little around the edges.
Mm-hmm.
And I have such a crush on the 10.5 Pro.
I understand. I just got the 10.5 and it's... Yeah, it's okay for you to be jealous of the fact that I have one, Kelly. It's that awesome.
I am jealous. And so Mr. Kelly has an Air too. And I was setting up all the iPads for camp. And so I had a couple of them here at my house, and I showed him one. I said, you know, you were talking about wanting to be able to take notes on a screen and be able to, you know, look at those notes later and have it keep up. So I thought you might like to see that. That's finally happening now. That's like a thing that could actually be achieved with this new iPad. And he looked at it and he went, ooh. And then he like scowled at me and went, you're just trying to get me to spend $700, aren't you? And I'm like, on me? I think what you mean is I'm trying to get you to spend $1,400.
Yeah.
So, but I feel like it would be a worthy upgrade. And I do also think it's a, like John did say, I think it's a question of timing. People like me have an iPad Air or maybe had gotten an Air 2, and it's starting to get a little creaky for what they're doing. And so now they, are in the mood to upgrade, and there's a compelling reason to do so, because it wasn't the previous gen non-pro.
Right. And I'm going to move us on to another topic, because there's something else I've wanted to talk about.
Let's.
And what I'm hoping is that John can join us in this part. Sadly, it looks like he's having a connection issues right now. So he may or may not be able to chime in on this. But here's the thing. We're seeing Apple doing more and more with services.
Yes.
And I'm curious what you guys think of this. I mean, is this a good thing? Is Apple diversifying in a way they need to, or are they putting themselves in a position where they can't focus on their other products the way they need to?
John? I have some concerns about that.
You're with us, John. I'm so glad.
I was having Skype problems.
Well, yeah. I'm glad you're here. So hit me with your concerns, John.
Well, I think it's great the services income is rising, and I think it's important for Apple, but it worries me a little bit in that it was initially launched as a palliative towards saturated iPhone sales. But in the earnings report yesterday, one of the analysts asked Tim Cook if he thought they could.
And there he goes.
Well, maybe he's back. Sometimes this is how shows go. But
you just don't always hear it.
No, you just don't always hear it. So I'm going to assume we don't have John for the rest of the show. All right.
Okay.
So
what's your take on this, Jeff?
All right. Thank you, Kelly, for asking. Well, my take is that I get John's concern for Apple having services as such a big part of their business when they have historically been a hardware company. Mm-hmm. But I'm okay with this because what I see as Apple has grown is that they've understood that they need to be a company that is more diverse. They needed to be more than the company that made the Macintosh.
Right.
And so they've been doing that over time. And one thing that's really good for revenue, as long as you do it right, is to create a model where you have recurring purchases. And, mm-hmm. and not just like buy a new Mac every 5 years, but like every month you're doing something. And mm-hmm. and that's part of what services does.
And they started that with iTunes way back in the day when it was, we're selling you iPods so that you will buy records on iTunes.
Right. But you were still Apple was still dependent on us deciding to make purchases throughout the month.
That's
true. Once we have a service like iCloud.
Or to take the iTunes, Apple Music.
Or Apple Music. Now you have something where it's just an automatic recurring payment, and mm-hmm. that's good for revenue.
Yes, it is. My concern is Apple's history with cloud services. And the reason that I'm still concerned about it is because I do not recall in the last, say, 12 to 18 months hearing that, like, you know how we keep hearing about how hotshots from Tesla are joining Apple and hotshots from the electric car division of some other company have joined Apple. Mm-hmm. We're not hearing that about storage. We're not hearing about how, like, Dropbox's chief engineer now works in Cupertino. You know, we're not getting these kind of updates. And I don't know if it's because people don't think that that's as notable a hire, and so we're just not hearing about it, or if it's because it isn't happening. But I'm not seeing where, and it's not like Apple can't afford it, but I'm not seeing where Apple is throwing innovation at these services. And I still know people who flat out refuse, like, won't, you know, they let Google sync their contacts because that's a reliable sync, or Dropbox, you know, is where my files actually live. And I use apps that allow me to sync with Dropbox. That's part of my purchasing decision. So, you know, I know a lot of people who are in those positions, and I know why they're in those positions, and they're in those positions because they're like me. They were iTools users or .Mac users, mm-hmm. and they know better. You know, there's only so much you can do. You know, when you have to spend all your time sort of mitigating what's going to happen when this fails, not if, but when. And so I do like the minimum with iCloud right now. Like, I will sync contacts. And I still have my Mac.com email address, so I continue to use that. But for the most part, I don't use Apple's iCloud service, and I don't generally encourage others. And I'm sort of always surprised when people tell me, like, yeah, I moved everything over to iCloud and it's great. And I'm like, ah, it makes me anxious on behalf of that person, because I'm like, oh, this could end really, really badly for you.
It could. And yet I'm using iCloud heavily.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's not exclusively.
Right.
But yeah, I use iCloud heavily. I use it for all kinds of data syncing, and I have my little folders set up in my iCloud Drive, and mm-hmm. it's been great. And I expect that when I'm using iOS 11 across all my devices, I'll be using iCloud even more because of the new Files app. And yes, mm-hmm. I totally get that that I can link up to Dropbox and everything else, which I'm going to do. But I have a feeling, because of the tight integration that iCloud has with iOS 11, I'll be using it even more than I do. And I treat it like any other service that I use. All the data that ends up on that service is backed up somewhere else, because
absolutely.
You should never trust that any cloud service, regardless of how reliable it's been, is going to be functioning tomorrow. Mm-hmm. It's just a good rule of thumb.
Absolutely. And it's a good rule of thumb for all your data.
Yeah.
You know.
So, Kelly, I didn't ask you directly. Do you think Apple having such a heavy focus on services is good or bad?
Well, honestly, I think it's almost a trick question, because isn't services where they're counting all the watch numbers?
That's a really good question. I don't remember off the top of my head. I know that it's lumped in.
They rejiggered something and they were like, yeah, we're not going to actually tell you how many watches we sold, because it's going to be part of this number. And right. I thought that number was services.
And actually, I think services includes other things beyond just services. So
right.
Yeah, maybe that is where they're putting it. And I should know that. It's just been so long since I've had to think about it. And to be fair, I typically don't remember what I've had for lunch the day before.
You may not know what you had for breakfast today. I've asked you that. You've been like, oh. So I think if it's Apple Watch number, if Apple Watch numbers are included in this, because they are included in something that is not an Apple Watch line item. I know that. And they did it so that they wouldn't ever have to actually tell us how many they sold unless they wanted to. So if that's the case, I think that explains a goodly portion of the services number, because everybody's getting a watch. Everybody's buying a band. Everybody's, you know, into it in some way, it seems like. So I see loads and loads of them in every kind of context. Like I, you know, like around my.
Mm-hmm.
People in Portland, which I know is not a representative group of anything except people in Portland, I see a lot of them when I go a particularly nerdy sort of conference sort of a thing. I see a lot of Apple Watches there. So even if it's not like a Mac related conference, and so they're out there and they're getting more common. I think the sport is probably a good. And I think that explained there, but I don't know how good a thing it is for Apple to invest so heavily in services if Apple isn't also innovating in services. And I don't mean give me a new way to store my stuff in the cloud. I mean on the back end, the stuff that we never see, you know,
like Siri.
Yeah, like making Siri amazing, making the Apple Music mixes smarter, making, you know, creating ways to distribute storage beautifully and optimize it so that whenever I do need something, whatever it is, I'm able to access that easily. Like that stuff isn't the interesting stuff. It's fun to show, but it's not necessarily fun to talk about how it came into being or what we did to get it here. So it's the kind of stuff that just becomes a bullet item in a keynote and in a keynote presentation at DubDub or, you know, for the iPhone event or whatever. And those are the things that I'm looking forward to seeing before I can say for sure that this is going on. Right now, I'm not surprised the number's high because I do think that's where the watch is going. But I also wonder, because I'm not hearing about any sort of behind the scenes stuff that makes me believe that Apple's really amping up on services. Because right now it sort of seems like services exists in that same weird no man's land as the Apple TV. Like, we mean it, really. And we never know how serious they are about it until we actually get an announcement.
All right. So we're out of time. But I'm going to ask, correct me if I'm wrong, the impression I'm getting from you is that you are very cautiously optimistic about what Apple may be doing with services.
Yes.
Okay. Sounds good to me. All right. Well, we're out of time, so we need to wrap up. I'm bummed that John was having technical issues and we lost him partway through the show, but I'm glad he was able to join us for at least a few minutes.
And I know he's not here, but I got to get it on tape anyway. Bye, John.
And I'm sad he's not here. Oh, and the silence afterwards is just sad.
I know. Oh.
Yeah. Well, Kelly, thank you for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me. Always a pleasure.
It's always great. And John, thank you in absence for being here. And listeners, thank you for being here and joining us and tolerating the surprise technical issues that we had today. Every one of you rocks. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.